Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Today we say valet to the great Graham Polifarmer. David Teague appointed Carlton coach. Brett Deledio retires. Some farewell games for some greats and a wonderful round of football to tip.
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everybody. Thursday, which means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We're brought to you by Tab Touch. It's been a big week in WA footy. We've lost our greatest ever player, Graham Farmer, succumbing to old age and dementia at the age of 84. Quarters.
Valet Polly.
Did you... You didn't quite see him play, I believe?
Never saw Polly play. I had the great pleasure of meeting Graham on many occasions. Good friends with his son, Brett, and met Dean and Kim. Condolences to the family. But be comforted by the fact that there's a lot of love and admiration out there for Polly. I think with such a great football person, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, we lose so many. But he just changed the game. He changed the way the game is played, and that's a legacy that people will always associate, you know, great ruckcraft and handball with Graham Farmer.
And that's the thing. You can argue forever about who is the best player and who is this and who is that. He is certainly right up there with the most influential players over the history of the game.
And that's right. And you look at people like the player of the century last year, so proclaimed, which is Lee Matthews. But if you look at, he was a great player, both as a rover and a forward. But did he change the game? No, he didn't. He was just bloody good at it. But Graham Farmer
changed a few people's faces.
He did, yeah. But Graham Farmer changed the way the game's played. And there'd be so few footballers who can claim that.
And because of that, I think the great hallmark that Polly should be remembered for is that some people are there when success happens and some people accompany success to clubs. Farmer brought success with him.
Wherever he went.
He arrived at East Perth, they won three flags. He went to Geelong, they won the flag, played in finals every year, played in two grand finals. Comes back to West Perth, two more premierships. Coaches the State of Origin team. We beat the Vics at Subiaco by 94 points. Very nearly coached Western Australia to victory over Victoria at the MCG, which I think it'll never go down as one of his great achievements, but sure. People talk about that game. He was 35 years old and he just wound back the clock, took the Vics on and very nearly got us over the line. Of course, all of that discounts the fact that in 1961 he was the star player in what should be our most famous football team, the 61 Carnival team that won the national title in Brisbane. And we're talking about before State of Origin. You know, Western Australia reigned over Victoria in a national carnival. That's a massive achievement.
And from such humble beginnings, Duff, you know, knowing the family and knowing his backstory, Sister Kate's orphanage, and, you know, the popular misconception was that he had polio as a kid. He didn't. He didn't. But he was born with one leg short on the other, or certainly had one leg short on the other. One of the beautiful stories I heard from Brett Farmer was that no one had shoes at Sister Kate's back in the day. The kids just had no shoes. He found a left shoe and he used it only when he was kicking when it was wet, a bit wet underfoot. So I love that story. Love it.
So is that why he became a left-footer, do you reckon?
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah, so Brett Farmer was a left-footer. Very handy player, Brett Farmer, by the way.
Kicked 90 in a waffle season, didn't he? For Claremont.
There was a forward line at Claremont in the early 80s, and it was Steve Malaxis in one pocket, Warren Ralph at full forward, and Brett Farmer in the other pocket. They used to call it the Golden Triangle. It led to one very famous line, I think, Claremont had played Perth in a game and absolutely demolished them. And one of the pundits, it might have been Marty McDonald, said on World of Sport on Sunday, he said, well, if they call Claremont's forward line the Golden Triangle, he said they should call Perth the Bermuda triangle because every time the ball goes in there, it just disappears.
Very good. Very good. Look, there'll be a state funeral for Polly next week.
Do we know when?
I don't know when yet, but I assume it's next week, by the way. I'm just an assumption there, but there'll be so many stories told. It'll be a really good day in terms of, you know, can you just imagine, you know, people who are at the funeral, the wake, everybody's got a story about Polly, haven't they, really?
They have. And well done to the family as well. Obviously, Polly's been battling dementia for more than 20 years now.
Yeah.
And well done for the family to stay the course with him. In particular, I think his daughter, Kim, I think has been an absolute marvel.
And let's not forget Marlene.
Marlene was his
beautiful wife who the Farmer family lost 3 years ago, married for 58 years. So lovely lady. I had the pleasure of meeting Marlene. So, you know, our thoughts go out to the Farmer family and all footy fans, really, because, you know, we've lost an icon in Western Australia.
Yep. Absolutely.
A bit of other news going around, Duff. Let's start with the news this morning. Teague has been appointed coach of Carlton, so 2 from 2 for the caretakers.
Yep.
We're just waiting for 3 for 3 if it happens. Brett Ratten, which I reckon he's odds on. I heard his conference this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I would describe it as a mixture of humour, emotion and drive. I think he's a great choice. I think he's obviously got the tactical nous. I think he's a great relationships person, and you can see that with the way the players have responded to him. You could hear it in his voice today. It got really emotional. There were a few tears when he was talking about his family and the journey that they've spent with him, because he's been to Adelaide, Perth. He's been all over the shop, and they've travelled with him. So he got quite emotional in thanking his family.
Did he spend time at St Kilda as well? I think he did.
Gee, I'm testing me there. But he's a best and fairest winner at Carlton too.
That's right.
A John Nicholls medalist.
Yep.
So it's a good fit for Carlton. He's a Carlton person, having won the John Nicholls medal. So I tell you what,
if he's an emotional now.
Yeah.
Senior coach.
I think he'd be okay, actually. I think he's got a good demeanour. I think it's just it's pretty overwhelming situation. Actually, he told the story that he went into he got to Carlton yesterday when he found out, and he said, I actually didn't really know until yesterday.
Yep.
But he said, I got there, we were doing a film for Cripper's 100th game, and I turned up and there's a few blokes in suits, like Mark Murphy was in a suit, and he's thinking, oh, okay, this is pretty formal. And they went inside the room to do the video, and he was then presented with the news. So it was a nice way they did. It was a bit of a surprise from Carlton.
Surprise party.
The way it was done. But he said it was a nice touch to it, and I think
they have a taking the training wheels off ceremony.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. It was Judd actually. Yeah, the spanner out and took the training wheels off. But look, I think it's a good choice. Carlton will be happy. They should be. I think he's a 3-year appointment, and they're certainly on the way up, Duff. And I know you've said that they're the Brisbane of next year. I'm not sure if they're quite the Brisbane of next year, but they'll be really hard to keep out of the eight, put it that way.
I reckon there's enormous talent there, and they've got to have a bit of luck with injury, obviously, because, you know, Charlie Curnow is their one really classy forward. I think Harry Mackay will be okay.
Yeah, I reckon
in
he's,
time.
Yeah, I think he's.
And at the other end, they wouldn't want anything to happen to Liam Jones or Caleb Marchbank, and Marchbank is missing the tail end of this season.
Or Wiedering, yeah.
Because they're a bit, you know, they're still building their stocks down there. But next year, they'll be able to rotate Cripps, Petrescu Seaton, probably still Murphy. Probably Sam Walsh, obviously, who's already going through there this year, and a little bit more of guys like Zach Fisher and these type of players. They'll all go through the midfield next year. They'll have a deep midfield. It'll be a very classy midfield.
Multi-pronged forward line. Hopefully a settled fullback. Give it a defence, provided there's no injuries. And there's always injuries. So, look, lots to like about Carlton going forward. Another retirement today, Brett Deledio, not surprising, has battled over the 3-4 years he's been at GWS, had a lot of consistency at Richmond. His just soft tissues have not been good since he's been at the Giants, but he's going to play on. He's desperate to get back for their first final, and he'll be missing this week. But I think, you know, if, and I'd like, a, here's a plea, Duff, if Giants play Richmond in the finals, please, Richmond supporters, do not boo Brett Deledio. I still am dumbfounded by the fact that after Richmond, the night they won the flag, they were still bagging Brett Delidio on social media because he had the temerity to leave the club. I mean, you know, this is a bloke who gave, 12 years of service to the Richmond Football Club.
That's footy fans.
I know, mate, but this is a bloke who gave everything to that club. And I just think that, and he missed out on a flag with him.
Mm.
So, you know, give him some credit. Let him bow out as he deserves because he's been a wonderful footballer.
He's a very good footballer. Number one draft pick, super quick, beautiful ball user. And you just mentioned the soft tissue problems. In many ways, he's been sort of not quite as badly affected as Harley Bennell, but affected over the same period of time.
He's had 30-plus soft tissue injuries, apparently.
Yeah, and almost all of them in the calf.
And I heard Damien Fleming speaking on radio this morning about when he was at the under-17s cricket academy back in the day, and Delidio was going through that, along with Shannon Hearn, actually, in the same crop. And Delidio was this express, quick blonde kid. And he said, I was speaking to him, had a lot of talent, but he said speaking to him was always going to be footy.
So Quarters, I believe there's a late inclusion in the Boomers lineup for the...
Yes, there is, actually. Here's one for... I don't think Braden Sear has any missed calls from NASA. Put it that way, Duff.
So he's been caught playing basketball.
Well, he's been out for three. He's out for another week with a calf injury.
Yep.
And he's been caught playing Division 3 social basketball under the pseudonym Phil In. So he's a Collingwood player. He's playing in Melbourne at a suburban basketball centre. I'm not going to be spotted.
I tell you what,
I can get away with this.
If he does that again, he might be told, Phil In might be told to F off.
I don't think you'll be getting any phone calls from the people assembling the new Hadron Collider either. My goodness. Now, a couple of farewell games this week. We've got Sandy.
Yep.
Probably maybe Ballas. We'll sit and wait on that one. And Jared Roughhead on the Sunday against Gold Coast. Had a lot of fun today in my column in the West. It was my favourite ever column, I think, writing about Jared Roughhead. But I was asked to do it and rank him. And I couldn't squeeze him in my top 10. I had him in number 11.
These are the all-time greats at Hawthorn, folks. In case
you better open it because I can't remember off the top of my head. But I had a controversial pick at number 2, and a lot of people disagree with me. But it's very subjective when you pick your, as you would know, Duff, and from picking top 50s. And,
oh, yeah, it's always fun. It's a good way to start an argument.
Yeah, so you've got it in front of you. Read them out.
So Matthews 1. I don't think anyone's going to argue
Daylight
with that.
Second.
Luke Hodge 2nd. Mm. Dermot Brereton 3rd. Jason Dunstall 4th. Peter Hudson 5th. Lance Franklin, 6th. Sam Mitchell, 7th. Gary Ayres, 8. John Platten, 9. Peter Knights, 10. Ruffy, 11. Sean Burgoyne, 12. I reckon you're unders with Burgoyne.
Yep. See, this is the beauty of these lists. In fact, my brother, who is obviously a massive Hawthorn man as well, my brother Stephen, who's caught a bit of footy in his day, I ran the list past him and he...
Leo Barry, you star!
That's him, yeah. I don't think Eagle supporters still like him for that, but it's not his. He's just calling the game. He differed on many, many positions there, and that's what it is. It's how you look at the game. You look at it through a different set of eyes, Duff, and it's amazing. Some people like a defensive ethic first. Some people just like the pure forwards, some people like midfielders. It's strange how you look at footy, but that's how I saw it. I just saw Hodges' input to that three-peat,
yep,
and the way we built into it that I thought that's why I had him at number 2. But I could easily have shuffled them around.
I would have been tempted to go for Dunstall at 2.
Yeah, a lot of people would think that. Yeah, the numbers would suggest that.
And probably Burgoyne somewhere in the top 10.
Yep.
Certainly Hodge in the top 5, I reckon. I wouldn't argue with too many of the names in the top 10.
Well, you wouldn't argue, even the top 20,
yeah.
You're looking at some great names at the back end of that 20 and many who missed out. You know, I know you laugh at me when I put Russell Green in there, but just one of my all-time favourites, just from the ability, played 300 games and the passion. Kelvin Moore played 300 games too. He's a very good player. Yeah. But we digress.
Jacko, you'll never be a footballer as long as your ass points to the ground.
Mark Jackson, that's right.
Yes. So Mark Jackson did a handstand.
Princess Park. Yes, remember it very well. So look, good luck to all those who are having farewell games this weekend. We hope it goes well for you. We hope your teams win and that you're given the credit that you deserve. We should get into some tips.
We should.
It's a tough round too, Duff. Friday night, Melbourne v Sydney MCG. I wrestled with this one. I could have gone either way. In the end, what tipped me over to Melbourne's way, and I reckon it'll be by a kick or two only, was the Max Gawn versus sort of a makeshift ruck department. Yeah. That's what got me over the line for Melbourne, nothing else.
And it's, yeah, you're right. As Sydney last week really struggled to manufacture a competitive ruck effort.
You've got Sam Reid, Port. Yeah, and you've got Sam Reid, Alir, and Hayden McLean, who's, I think, played four or five games. So, yeah. I mean, there's their makeshift ruck department, you know, against Max Gawn.
Yes, no, I think I'm with you there. I think I'll stay with the D's. That's in Melbourne, isn't it?
It is at the MCG.
Well, that's another reason to pick Melbourne in that one.
On to Saturday, it's just a tough game, this one. MCG, Carlton 12 v St Kilda. So Carlton with their newly appointed coach, David Teague, who's 5-4 against St Kilda, with Brett Ratten still auditioning for that coaching position, coaching against the team he should never have been sacked from coaching in the first place. So a lot about this game. Lost their last two, Carlton, against West Coast and Richmond, and they've been really competitive in both. Cripps, 100th game. You know, this could go either way, but I'm going to go with Carlton here by a couple of kicks. I think they're playing really well. So are St Kilda, but I just think there's a bit more potency to the Carlton side at the moment than there is to St Kilda.
St Kilda's win against Fremantle last week was probably a game of errors where Fremantle made them at the critical time.
That's right. They were still good enough to kick a couple late.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Stephens' particular game last week I thought was outstanding. But he may struggle to back that up because he's not got the conditioning.
Yep.
But I just think, I'm going to regret this tip, I know, but I just think Carlton, for me at the moment, just look a little, just got the edge.
Yeah, I'm going to tip Carlton. I think you're right. There's no disgrace in Carlton's defeats in the last couple of weeks. They played very good teams. They performed strongly against those teams.
Yep.
Just haven't quite got to the line. So I'm going to tip Carlton to beat the Saints, I think, by about 15 points.
On to the Lincoln McCarthy Cup, Brisbane v Geelong at the Gabba.
So
second v first. Now, interesting about the most interesting stat about this game, Duff. You're talking about the highest scoring side against the best defence.
So Polly Farmer is arguably Geelong's greatest player.
I would say he is, yes. We're talking Gary Ablett.
It's probably either him or Gary Ablett.
I reckon he's got him. He's got him just.
So what impact does the death of a club icon have on a game like this?
I don't think it has a negative impact at all. I think if nothing, it has a positive impact. But Polly's sort of sort of belongs to footy as much as he belongs to Geelong, I think. So I don't think it'll have a great impact on the outcome of this game, to be honest. If anything, it will aid Geelong.
If Brisbane wants to hold any hopes of finishing top two, they have to win this one.
Well, it's at the Gabba, and they've got Richmond in the final round. So this has to be a victory at the Gabba. I'm intrigued by this game. I think it's... And Geelong's been win-loss since the bye.
Yeah.
So they are up and down. They've done that. Look, last week was a strange old game against North. It was at GMHBA Stadium, and it was like an arm wrestle. It was a strange game. I'm just still not convinced about Geelong. And they're on top of the ladder, for goodness sake, and I'm not convinced about them. So what does that say?
I get the feeling Geelong in 2019 is a little bit like Fremantle in 2015.
Yeah, you get that feeling.
They got fired out of the cannon at the start of the season, were the best team to the halfway point, and then just a few little things happened. A few of their older players started to struggle, and then obviously Nathan Fyfe got the injury. And the back half of the year was quite tough for Fremantle, and they still finished on top, but I don't think anyone thought they were the best team in the competition come the end of the home and away season. And I get the feeling that Geelong's in that boat now. I think West Coast has got them covered. I think Richmond has got them covered. And I think depending on how they go this weekend against Brisbane, Brisbane may have them covered as well. I'm going to tip the Lions.
So, I'm tipping the Lions by about four goals. They've lost their last eight straight to Geelong by an average margin of 50 points. But we are looking at a different side this year, clearly. And last year, obviously, they were on the trend upwards, and this year they've exploded.
Yeah.
But a couple of interesting ones. You know, we're talking about the best. Brisbane, the thing about Brisbane, yes, they lack finals experience, but the one asset they have is they can score really quickly and hurt you. Andrews and Adams, Hawkins, Rotoglia, I'm just not sure. I mean, it's really the key to this game. It really is. So let's see how that defence goes. And let's see how that Geelong defence goes. And we know it's a good defence. If Brisbane do get on fast breaks and just score, try, you know, pump that ball into the forward line quickly, as we know they can.
Well, I think Andrews will cope very well against whoever he matches up on.
Of course he does, yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see which way they go on that, isn't it? Because Andrews, I reckon, can put the guy he's on to sleep and take him out of play.
Well, now, you can change it. I think now, you start with Hawkins and then you see where it goes.
But do you look at the physical matchup? And Adams is quite a brute of a man, and Tommy Hawkins, of course, is a brute of a bloke as well. Do you put the big body Adams on Hawkins and hope he can hold him, and get Andrews to hopefully absolutely dominate Radaglia?
Yeah,
and at least at the very least limit them to one potent tall scoring option, and maybe get a good result on both.
Yeah, it's interesting. It'll be really interesting to see which way they go.
Who wins the midfield battle in this one, do you think?
Oh, well, I'm going to say Brisbane. It's at home. I'm going to say Brisbane just. No, I mean, it's a great midfield battle.
Yeah.
It's just deep everywhere, isn't it? It's just bats deep both sides. So it's a really hard game to pick this one.
So you're saying Brisbane by four?
I'm saying by four goals, yeah.
Okay. I'll say Brisbane by 15 points. I think that Geelong, it's a pretty important game this for Geelong, because Geelong has to start reassembling belief, don't they? Self-belief. And
a couple of wins on the trot would be good for them, particularly a win at the Gabba.
Oh, but yeah, particularly a win over an opponent like Brisbane.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They got final round Geelong? I'm just not sure.
I think it's it might be the Western Bulldogs, is it? I think it's one they can win, but they're no certainty to win.
I thought the Dogs might have had Adelaide. Anyway, Saturday, on to Saturday, Adelaide Oval. Adelaide v Collingwood, 9th v 5th. Out of the 8 by percentage, the Crows. Good performance last week. Collingwood, a rare travelling experience. 3-1 on the road, though, this season, Duff. So they have travelled okay. Had a win, great win over here, of course. Jacobs v Grundy will go a long way to determining it. I'm going to lean Adelaide's way in this game. Have to win it. I know Collingwood need to stay in touch with that 4-2, but they are vulnerable, Collingwood. I mean, Adelaide are too, but they're at home. The home ground advantage is going to sway me on this one. I reckon Adelaide by about 3 goals.
Yeah, I'm going to tip Adelaide. I think, and for the same reasons as you, I think Adelaide in Adelaide. If this were in Melbourne, I'd be tipping Collingwood. I'm tipping Phil In won't get a Guernsey.
Phil In is out for another week with a calf injury.
Maybe another 3 weeks.
Yeah, it might be 3. Well, they do have their injuries, Collingwood. So Adelaide for both of us.
I liked Adelaide's effort against West Coast last week. I thought they were dogged.
They're well coached.
He produced a strong coaching performance. He got. I loved Darcy Fogarty's game, so I think they'll continue to go with him and Tom Lynch and Taylor Walker as their triumvirate in attack. And even though Eddie Betts didn't do a lot in terms of hitting the scoreboard, I liked his game as well at ground level. I thought he gave them something. So the Crows for me, Collingwood still trying to get it back together for finals, I think.
North Melbourne v Port Adelaide at Marvel Stadium. North, as we know, lowest score in their history last week. I'm going to say park that result because that was a strange old game. It was an arm wrestle to half time and they just couldn't get it done in the second half. And not the last team that will go down to GMHBA and struggle. However, hasn't lost at all since 2014, Port, and they've won, and three of those have been at Marvel, so it's not unfamiliar territory for them. I'm going to pick Port. It's another game that you could sway either way, but I just think there's so much to lose for Port. They're in eighth spot, much more to play for. They're well organised. They're playing pretty good footy. I'm just more comfortable picking them than I am North at the moment. I hope that we see Cunnington and SPP go head to head. Two bulls. It'll be fantastic. And I'm going to shout out.
Who would whack who first?
Oh, Cunnington will whack him first. SPP doesn't mind whacking him either, but he always gets in first. And a shout out. Burn Jones has had some sort of a year, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. Really emerged.
He sneaked up on us too in the second
half.
He's
a nice, neat player, isn't he?
Yeah.
He tends to read the ball very well. He doesn't fumble a lot and uses the ball pretty well. Doesn't make a lot of big errors, which is what you want from a player.
He's really jumped out
back.
at me this year. I didn't really rate him in the past. He was just another, you know, just another player, really, an average sort of battler for me. But he's been really good this year. He'd be almost on the verge of All-Australian, I reckon.
I reckon Port Adelaide will be... They'll be gnashing their teeth a little bit over the fact that North Melbourne is coming off a game when they've kicked their lowest ever score. Because North has been very competitive.
Yep.
They've been pretty fierce since Reshaw has taken over the coaching job. When you have an effort like that, you are going to get a response. And it's in Melbourne, and this is a game Port Adelaide needs to win to stay on track to play finals. I'm going to tip Port quarters. I don't think it will reflect well on them if they get beaten in this one. I think they've been, you know, up and down, and you know, as you mentioned, the win-loss treadmill. Well, they've been the epitome of the win-loss treadmill until the last couple of weeks.
They have.
They appear to have found a formula that's working quite well for them, I think.
With the tools, too.
With the tools.
Dixon. Yeah.
Yeah. And I hope that their form holds up. And because to me, the two teams I reckon that may give the best account of themselves if they tumble into eighth spot, I would have...
Port and Western Bulldogs.
Port and Western Bulldogs, yeah, exactly. They would be the two. And particularly the Doggies. So I'm going to be watching
I think the Doggies
very closely.
We'll get to the Dogs
weekend
in a minute, but I think it might be more likely to be Port than the Dogs. Frio vs and an Optus Stadium. We're talking definitely a farewell for Sandy.
Yep.
Certainly a Perth farewell for Sandy, and perhaps a farewell to Ballantyne, we'll see.
I would imagine, if fit, Aaron Sandilands goes on and plays against Port Adelaide.
Yeah. Yep. This is the farewell here.
Yeah.
So fill the seat. This is your chance, Fremantle supporters. This has been one of the great servants of Dockers history. Let's fill Optus Stadium.
Yeah, and he's the one you build the team around, isn't he? Of all their great players. You know, Pavlich was a spearhead in attack and a very versatile champion. Luke McFarland was one of the most underrated power defenders in the competition and really could put any power forward to sleep, including Buddy Franklin, if he got to play on them.
Yep.
And Nathan Fyfe is a player you go to spearhead your midfield. And David Mundy's been a great player as well. But this guy, you build a team around. When he first started playing in 2003, Chris Connolly dubbed him the Big Ship. And even though that's been overtaken, like they call him Spider. It's a great nickname for Sandilands, isn't it? He's the Big Ship. He's the one in the middle of the fleet, the one that all the others float around and feed off of.
He looks like a big ship, too, when he's just manoeuvring around the footy field. I had to laugh during the week. He said when he was telling the players he'd retired, he couldn't stare Ballantyne in the eye. Couldn't look him in the eye.
Well, probably because he's about 3 feet high.
Exactly. Look, Essendon, this is a must-win. We're going to get a response for Essendon. Essendon's banged up. Make no mistake about that. Heppel's playing on one leg. It worries me. It worries me. They're vulnerable. They've lost their eight of their past nine trips to WA. I'm going to pick Freo. I reckon they'll win this game. It won't be a comfortable margin, but they'll win by a couple of kicks. I think Essendon would love to win this game because then it's September assured. They've got Collingwood in the final round.
Mm.
So she's a tough, needing to win the final
round. They have to win this one. Yep.
But I'm not sure if they're going to, Duff. Need to win. And having the wherewithal to do it are two different things. I'm not sure if they have.
Yeah, I'm not as hard on John Worsfold as a lot of people are. I think that he's been absolutely gutted.
Yeah, I'm not
with personnel.
I thought the 21 successive goals last week was poor, and I don't think that's much. I think that's inexcusable. However, losses aren't inexcusable when you're stripped of talent as he has been.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that they're losing because of his coaching this weekend. I just think that they haven't got the stocks.
Yeah, I agree. A big decision for them too. You mentioned Heppel, and you're right, he's not playing fit. So
he might. The temptation might be there.
Is the question there? Do you go with 22 fit ones and try and get effort, or do you put some of your better players in there, knowing they're not quite all there?
Well, Stringer's going to be okay, I think.
Francis back from...
Saad, perhaps?
I heard Saad was missing another week.
Yeah,
But I haven't had an update on that over the last couple of days.
So even they play, we're still speculating about them. So this is what I'm talking about. They are banged up and there's a lot of players missing. So it's just a hard task for them, given their history over here.
If you're Essendon, is this your elimination final, do you think?
Yeah, it is. Collingwood are more susceptible than they were earlier in the year, for sure. So they're gettable in the final round. But, I mean, This would be nice. They would love to win this game. Yeah. I don't think they will, though. I think Freo will win.
Yeah, I'm going to tip Fremantle. I think Fremantle's form, apart from two glitches, one in the Derby, one against the Western Bulldogs, I think has been pretty solid. Their form at home has been okay, and they've tended to be able to get the results when they get into the close one. So, although they didn't last week. But I like the Dockers.
So we agree on everything so far. I'm tipping we may not. From this point on, onto the Sunday games, starting with possibly the match of the year so far, Richmond v West Coast at the MCG, third game at the MCG this year, I think, for the Eagles.
The Eagles.
You look at the stats on every single stat, they are so evenly matched, whether you're talking inside 50s. The only one is, I think it's for possessions, is I think they're about 20 up on average, Richmond. That's because of the Eagles' efficiency. We know that they're a side that uses the footy less, but just uses it more efficiently against Richmond's frenetic sort of game style. Damien Pardwick has flagged earlier in the week he'd rather the ball be on the ground than in the air for obvious reasons.
Yep.
I think it's there's just so many matchups in this game that'll be important. I think you've got Hutchings will probably go to Martin. Be interesting to see what happens with Yo, whether it's Jack Graham perhaps gets a role.
Why wouldn't you send Yo to Martin?
You could too. You could do that. You could possibly do that. I'd love to see it.
I reckon that's the matchup.
They'll try and get that matchup.
And I reckon that's the one that may have a pivotal influence on the outcome of the game as well. If Yo could go to Martin and nut him or keep him to, you know, one goal and maybe 20 disposals in the game, to me, that could be the difference between West Coast winning and losing this game. West Coast has to win this game to finish second.
Yes, they do. And both teams very talented in the forward in attack. Both teams love the small forward game. Also, you've got Darling Kennedy, Grimes, Vlaston, Asprey, and you've got Rewalton, Lynch, McGovern, Barras. I mean, it's beautiful. There's so many matchups that you just salivate over in this game. I'm going to pick Richmond by a kick. MCG, it's hard to go against them. Eagles haven't lost there this year, haven't lost in Melbourne this year. Probably going to regret this tip, but I'm just going to pick Richmond by a kick, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm picking Richmond. Mm-hmm. And the other factor in it for me is I'm hearing wet weather, and I think if ever there was a team who've designed their system around making sure it's sustainable in wet weather, it's Richmond. The surge footy, the get it going your way, the chaos ball, momentum, all that things lends itself. All those things lend.
They do. But highly skilled teams also perform well in the wet.
But I think Richmond are a highly skilled team. They strip it back to that surge mentality, don't they? West Coast are a very precision based team. They are a very highly skilled team. But whether you can execute that under the pressure that Richmond are going to put you under in the conditions that may prevail at the MCG on Sunday, that's going to be the big question for them. I think it's going to be a fantastic game, a 50-50 game, but I think if it is wet, I'm certainly leaning towards Richmond by under 10 points.
It's going to be a good Sunday.
You've got that Sunday
game into GWS v Western Bulldogs at Giant Stadium. They were horrible last week, GWS. I've watched the game again since. Purely because I'm a Hawthorn supporter and also because of the snow factor. I was just amazing scenes, I reckon, that game. But I'm going to go again. I think they've been one of the best sides of the last 4 to 6 weeks, the Western Bulldogs. I'm going to pick GWS here. I think they'll go against the grain here and win. It is at home. They asked players down. I think Matt DeBoer's back this week.
Yeah, that's a big in for them.
Well, yeah, who does he go to? McRae? Dunkley?
I'd want him on Bontempelli.
Bontempelli, yeah. That's the thing about the Western Bulldogs. They are so talented in that midfield. I'm just going to prepare to back. I think GWS was just so horrible last week, and we normally see a response from them, and I think we'll get it this week. Dogs have been sudden death for some time now. They can't lose. But I'm just swayed by GWS, but it'll be a kick or two only.
I'm going to go with GWS, I reckon it's more a hope than an expectation, I reckon. You're right, it's at home for them. at Giant Stadium in Sydney. So that's a factor in my choice. It's hard to recommend against the Bulldogs on form.
Well, no, I really want the Western Bulldogs to win because I want to see them get in the back end of the eight to see what happens.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll win this one. I think it'll be all over for them, sadly. That's just what my gut tells me. Just they're more talented than last week suggests.
Yeah.
I think they might have lost Hopper this week too. So,
Hopper came out last week.
Yeah, he did too. Yeah, so they're not. Look, things aren't going well for them on the injury front. Cameron, of course, looks like he's carrying something. Well, he's got the bad corky last week, so remains to be seen whether he gets up. Deledio's out.
Do they get Himmelberg back?
They get either Himmelberg or Finlayson.
Yeah,
one of them gets back. One of them doesn't, I believe. So, I mean, that's they have to get one of those back. But I think that should be enough to get the job done.
Yeah. The more I think about it, I'm wondering why I'm not tipping the Bulldogs
in this
game.
Well, you still change stuff.
No, I'll stay with GWS. It's at their home ground. They've got a lot to play for as well. Ladder position has to mean something.
Yep.
But I think this will be... This could rival West Coast Richmond as the game of the round, this one, I reckon.
Yeah.
Be very close.
Finally, the Jared Rufford farewell, or could it be? So if the Hawks manage a decent win over the Gold Coast at Marvel Stadium...
Here's a Hawthorn fan daring to dream, listeners.
I don't think Hawthorn's playing final stuff, but there's still a mathematical possibility, as there is with Fremantle.
Yes, there
is. So, you know, you're going to cling to something like a... You know, I'm walking a frayed tightrope with some men's shoes.
I'll be happy if the Dockers get over Essendon and I get my 10 wins.
I just like to see a good farewell to Ruffy. If he does play and plays well, and they have flagged this, that there's no reason he doesn't play the final round, which is, of course, against West Coast over here.
Mm.
So, lot to like it. Hawthorn's second best defence in the comp, Duff. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't, because they're playing a very defensive brand at the moment. He's getting a lot of numbers behind the ball. It's the classic case of a coach that knows what he's doing. He knows he doesn't have the artillery to blow teams away, so he asks himself the question, how do I get my team into this game?
Yeah.
And the answer is, you get them into the game by putting a few more numbers behind the ball when you can. Obviously, you can't at centre square structures or anything like that, but, you know, make it hard for them to beat you, make yourselves hard to play against. And I think that's what Clarko's done very well this year, like a good coach would.
Okay, so 16 defeats in a row for Gold Coast. I reckon Jagger O'Meara might play well this game. Now, he plays well most weeks, Duff, but I reckon he might want to play pretty well in this game just for a bit of a finger up to Tony Cochrane, who smashed him a couple of weeks ago. Now, I don't mind Cochrane. I like the way he sticks up for his club, but I thought that was a bit poor.
Yeah,
a couple of years after the event, smashing a bloke, talking about lying in your face. I mean, footballers move clubs.
I bet Stuart Dew didn't like that.
No, I thought it was pretty poor, and I reckon Jager might get a bit of the footy this week.
Yeah.
I hope he does.
There might be... Tuke Miller might be sent out to make sure Jager O'Meara doesn't get too much.
Yeah, well, someone might be sent out to make sure Tuke Miller doesn't get near him too. So let's just see what happens. I'm going to pick Hawthorn. I'm going to be nice to, the Suns. I'm going to say 50 points.
Yeah, I think that's about right, because Hawthorn haven't been kicking big scores, have they?
No.
It might not be an absolute whitewash, although Clarko might just open it up and give Ruffy a bit of room inside attacking 50. And
yeah, I'm not sure what's happening with Mitch Lewis this week, whether he looked a bit sore last week. He got a really bad corky, plus I think he had a bit of a sore shoulder. So
he's probably got frostbite.
He might get a rest. Oh, they looked like they were enjoying it, the Hawks. They love the cold weather. So.
All right, so you're saying 50 points. Yep. I'll say about 40 points. Okay. I think the Gold Coast can hang in there a little bit and make this a fairly dual struggle. Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll be back on Tuesday to dissect the round and look into round 23, the last round of the home and away season before we head into the finals. Depending on how the results fall, quarters, we could be looking at an absolute blockbuster last round, hopefully.
Well, the AFL will be loving this round alone, let alone next week.
If the results fall the right way, if the Dockers get over the top of Essendon, if those teams in 7th, 8th and 9th don't get up and the teams below them do, then we're going to have an absolute charge of the light brigade.
Into that bottom end of the 8 and also at the top end of the ladder.
That's right.
It's going to be an amazing final round.
All right. Good luck with your tips. Hope you tip a few winners. Hope we've helped you tip a few winners.
No.
And we'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Well, you tipped 8 last week.
I did too. Yeah,
in good form. Yeah, I think I went all right.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I got eight, but I think I went all right.
Yeah, I missed out on the Hawks last week, which was...
All right. See you on Tuesday.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.